The worst week yet, June 23rd to 29th, 2024. Joe Biden's cognitive decline, a symbol of America's deterioration. In case you're one of the three or four people left on the planet without an internet connection, you're aware that Joe Biden's handlers didn't pump him full enough of speedballs and smart pills last week to save him and the Democratic Party from nakedly revealing to the world during last Thursday night's debate with Donald Trump what we've all known for years. The old demented goat is unfit to change his own diapers, much less lead the country. Citing negative headlines from around the world, The Guardian wrote that it took Biden only 10 minutes to destroy a presidency. A CBS News YouGov poll released Sunday found that 72% of Americans don't think Biden has the mental and cognitive health to serve as president. Even Biden's lifelong friend Thomas Friedman wrote in the New York Times that he cried at the spectacle of this senile husk of a man slurring and staring into space. The New Yorker's David Remnick wrote, "Watching Thursday's debate, observing Biden wander into senselessness on stage, and it is bound to obliterate forever all those vague and qualified descriptions from White House insiders about good days and bad days. You watched it, and on the most basic human level, you could only feel pity for the man and more fear for the country." By contrast, Donald Trump was composed, lucid, and presidential. Although he got one or two barbs in at Biden, after a while he clearly held back, lest he be accused of elder abuse. Things got so tacky that there is rampant speculation as to whether our chief executive, who recently was suspected of shitting his pants on stage at a recent D-Day memorial, audibly farted during the debate. Whether the Democrats set Biden up for this public humiliation and whether they'll hurriedly prop someone younger up to be nominated as their candidate in late August at their convention in Chicago are matters open for speculation. But with an insuperable public debt, irreconcilable demographic differences, and the specter of the USA being dragged into a world war that I see no way of it winning, I think it's hard to argue that this once great nation is as over the hill as its current president. Milk, the demon elixir of white supremacy. Back around 2017, in the alt-right's glory days, when meme lords seized upon the fact that Northern Europeans are far more lactose tolerant than the world's lesser racial groups, the UK's Metro was running scare headlines such as "Secret Nazi Code Kept Hidden by Milk and Vegan Agenda," and People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals desperately attempted to explain why cow's milk is the perfect drink for white supremacists. Geneticists are alarmed that white nationalists, who are now using milk emojis and sharing photos of themselves chugging milk to celebrate their whiteness, are contorting science and using it as an excuse to hate. In a recent article in the New York Times, evolutionary biologists state that because of a genetic mutation among Europeans, white people are more likely to be able to digest lactose. White nationalists are arguing that being able to drink another animal's breast milk somehow indicates that they're of the master race. Good grief. In an utterly hilarious all-female 2022 symposium held in London titled "Milk and Whiteness," a reputed scholar named Andrea Freeman was introduced as someone who writes and researches at the intersection of critical race theory and food policy, health and consumer credit, with a special interest in the whiteness of milk. When Freeman opened her mouth, she mooed the following.
"Milk has long been associated with Nazis, and here we see is a scene from the Quentin Tarantino movie. It says, Heil milk, heil cows, heil our people's lactose intolerance. Okay, this is a person, presumably female, being given a foot milk bath with a large swastika in the background. And here's another association of Aryans and milk. And this one is from History of Agriculture in the state of New York. This is from the movie Get Out, an excellent film if anyone has not seen it yet, where white supremacist divides her milk and her Fruit Loops to retain the milk's purity. These are some white supremacist message boards with a poem, "Roses are red, Barack is half black, if you can't drink milk, you have to go back." It's one of the inherent biases in and racism inherent in Western medicine is that the phrase is lactose intolerance. When the vast majority of people have the situation, they're the ones who are intolerant.
Another speaker at that 2022 symposium was Dr. Johanna Zetterstrom-Sharp, a London-based anthropologist who waxed pretentiously about its supposed Northern European obsession with milk. 2 years later, Ms. Sharp is still obsessed with her imagined Northern European obsession with milk. It was recently announced that along with a gap-toothed black woman who goes by J.C. Nyala, Ms. Sharp will receive public funding to conduct a hard-hitting academic project called Milking It, Colonialism, Heritage, and Everyday Engagement with Dairy. According to a mission statement,
by focusing on communities' intersecting industry, aid, and government regulation, the project aims to center on heritage as a vital framework for understanding how colonial legacies influence contemporary issues and affect people's lives. Through milk diaries, archival research, and participatory podcasting, it will investigate historical engagement with milk, building networks with consumers and producers in Britain and Kenya. The project will question both the imagined and real aspects of milk, revealing the intimate and political nature of this everyday substance.
Milk diaries? Participatory milk and whiteness podcasting? These cows clearly have too much time on their hands. German woman who insulted migrant rapist gets more jail time than he did. One of the first things that newly arrived male migrants to Europe seem to do is rape indigenous women. It's a rite of passage, and it happens so often that one couldn't be faulted for suspecting that raping indigenous women might be the primary reason why these swarthy and smelly rape machines are brought to Europe. In 2020, a 15-year-old German girl was raped in Hamburg's Stadtpark over the course of several hours by successive waves of predators, starting with four men who took turns on her, then stole her wallet and cell phone before leaving. Another pair of men then availed themselves of her female enchantments, and at some point, her rapists began inviting others to join in the festivities via internet chat groups. 11 men were initially charged, but allegations against two of them were dismissed due to lack of DNA evidence. But officials were able to identify nine assailants merely through samples of sperm they'd ejaculated into her body. Five of the nine charged were German citizens, but none of the nine was genetically German. Some of the rapists recorded their predations and shared them with others via WhatsApp. Despite the clear DNA and video evidence, only one of the nine rapists went to prison, a 19-year-old Iranian who received a sentence of 2 years and 9 months. The rest received probation and didn't spend a moment behind bars. Despite how cowed and beaten down the German populace has been ever since it lost that war 79 years ago, the fact that eight of the nine convicted non-German rapists received no punishment at all led to a social media furor among indigenous krauts and the eventual leaking of one man's identity and phone number. An unidentified 20-year-old German woman messaged the rapist's phone number through WhatsApp, calling him a dishonorable racist pig and a disgusting freak. She also asked, "Aren't you ashamed when you look in the mirror?" The woman has been convicted of sending insulting and threatening hate posts to the man and will now be forced to spend a weekend in a youth detention center for her indiscretion, meaning that she will spend more time behind bars than eight of the nine rapist foreigners. But it doesn't end there. Hamburg authorities are in the process of investigating 140 other outraged citizens for being meanies toward those tired and huddled rapists. One is forced to wonder how many Germans wish they hadn't lost that war 79 years ago. West Virginia couple accused of adopting black kids and keeping them as slaves. The mountain state of West Virginia is not only stunningly beautiful, it's also one of the whitest states per capita in the USA. As of a 2024 analysis, with a WQ of 92.8%, it sits proudly in third place behind only Vermont and Maine. In the West Virginia town of Sissonville, whose population as of 2022 was 2,680, what People magazine describes as a white couple has been charged with adopting black children and forcing them to work as slaves. The couple, Donald Ray Lance, 63, and Jean Ray Whitefeather, 62, were originally arrested in October 2023 on similar charges. Although both of the accused look phenotypically white, the surname Whitefeather is an Indian name. And as I recently noted, Indians were the last ethnic group to officially let go of their black slaves, all the way back in 1866. For now, I'll set aside People magazine's relatively tame coverage of the slave saga and focus instead on the Atlanta Black Star's predictably lurid June 24th story. The headline, "It's horrifying. West Virginia judge revokes bond of white couple who reportedly kept their black adopted children locked in shed in despicable conditions with no water, lights, and little food." And from the story, a white couple from rural West Virginia is back behind bars after a judge revoked the initial bond and raised it to $500,000 apiece, more than double the amount they faced last year when police arrested the pair on charges of locking their adopted black children in a barn and forcing them to work as slaves. Donald Ray Lance, 63, and Jean K. Whitefeather, 62, both of Sissonville, were ordered to reappear in Kanawha County Court on June 11th, more than 8 months after each posted a $200,000 bond following their arrest in October. At the time, police conducting a wellness check at the Cheyenne Lane home were shocked to discover two of the couple's five adopted children living in deplorable conditions, padlocked inside a ramshackle storage shed on the back of the property, which had no working lights or running water. During the second bond hearing, Whitefeather explained that the barn where the children were found was a teenage clubhouse and maintained that the children were not actually locked inside. Both children appeared feral and dirty, reeking of body odor, while the boy had open sores on his bare feet, according to court papers. Text and video accounts about this case contradict one another wildly. One report says that three of the five adopted children were black. Others say they were all black. Racy tales of all the children being forced to constantly live in a locked shed don't seem to pan out at all. As far as I can discern, police only discovered two kids locked in the shed, and the stinky chillins say it had only been for 12 hours. Allegations of slave labor appear to only have come from neighbors who say they spotted some of the kids doing yard work. This might be only a case of the media and perhaps attention-hungry West Virginia officials blowing a routine story of child neglect into a fraudulent tale of the return of black slavery to America. As much as I hate to disappoint readers, it doesn't appear that black slavery has returned.